Je m'appelle baguette.
Je m'appelle baguette.
Croissant.
How do you like
je voudrais...
How do you like gem apples?
Ooh.
I actually...
I don't want to like that one, but I actually do.
Well, good.
I still...
We're here. Greetings, Apropossy. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast. With your host, Salsa.
And Jenna, and very special guest.
Tom.
Yay!
You guys really rehearse the intro bit, don't you?
James has a part, and he fucked up his line.
James fucked up his lines, man.
Yeah.
God damn it, James.
We're gonna have to let him know.
He's here to defend himself.
Yeah. When he gets back, we'll have to let him know he fucked up his lines.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Listeners, James is in here.
Yeah,
I don't know if you figured that out.
So this will be a good episode.
Oh, and again, he's not here to defend himself.
I don't know. It might get mean. We're less.
It's way easier to pick on James when he can't defend himself.
Is this a mean podcast? Did I get invited onto a mean podcast?
And that's how I got invited.
And that's how got invited. Yeah.
Am I God now? Am I God now?
Yes.
Did I invited you? I'm now God.
No, I invited you on this podcast, Jenna, so I don't know what that means about me.
You invited God on the podcast, as is appropriate.
I was going to say you're a God, maybe not like the God.
I'm the God to somebody.
You probably are.
I mean, probably just myself, but, whatever. It's fine.
Anyway, dear listeners, we're online, as you can probably tell, so we are drinking individual drinks, whatever we have on hand. I have in my hands a concoction of my wife's making. It is a Ragnar Jump Up.
Ooh, so it's a variant on the Johnny Jump Up?
Yeah, but mead instead of cider.
Sounds lovely. Have you had this particular drink before, Salsa?
Oh, yes, many times.
All right. And please describe it to us.
It's delightful. It's like mead and whiskey together.
It's like that.
Great taste tastes great together.
Yeah. I'm using Jaybird's Odin Mead.
So it's a
particularly fine... To start with,
the drink is God,
or it's a God.
Great. It's pretty great. I'm not gonna lie.
Question about the mead: is it a sweet mead or a dry mead?
It is a sweet.
I'm not familiar with the. Okay. All right.
Sweet.
Okay.
I can kind of
conjure it in my mind's eye what that would taste like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Odin has like cinnamoniness. It's almost like a mold. Mead almost it's
I heard mold mead and I was too. Like, yes. Ew.
It's moldy like cheese.
They do serve it at the Renaissance Festival, so you know.
Yeah. No, it's my favorite of Jaybird's meads. It goes really well with a bit of whiskey in it.
Nice.
Very nice.
What about the rest of you?
I am drinking Cutwater Rum Mojito, as I am.
Ooh, very nice.
Very
nice.
I
recommend. It continues to be one of my favorites, and I continue to drink it a lot.
Excellent.
There is something to be said for like canned cocktail. The convenience factor of canned cocktails cannot
love
be overstated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been doing canned cocktails of my own creation for a while, or bottle cocktails.
Sure.
Especially with a bottle where you drink just a little bit of it and then you pour the booze in. Mm-hmm. So bottle cocktails have been a thing for me forever. And then
the original Dr. Tiki.
Dr. Tiki. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm sure that sounds great on the audio. So, I'm very excited that people have just started taking steps out of the process and charging way more. Than I would have paid originally. So, Tom, you there?
Oh, no. Tom's screen went. Okay.
I'm here. I don't know. Oh, are we?
Yeah, you're
Yeah, I think you were time traveling.
Yep.
Probably, you know, it's been known to happen. Yeah. I feel embarrassed bringing this monstrosity onto the podcast when you all have such fine things.
You cannot embarrass anybody with a beverage on this show.
Salsa, you may want to withhold judgment until you actually hear what this is.
I guarantee we've had worse.
I'm going to go with Blue Powerade.
No, it's not Blue Powerade, but it is blue.
Oh. All right. It does look blue.
This is Mountain Dew, the blue raspberry ginseng flavor with gin and ice.
Well, there you go. Gin and ginseng.
It's so good. It's very summery.
It's a gin-gin.
It's a gin.
I have now named it Gin-Gin.
I mean, it kind of looks like Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen is what I think of, even though I've never seen it.
That's fair. Mm.
So that's simple. Just call it a Manhattan.
And then confuse everybody.
Yeah. Fine.
That's not problematic at all.
Makes perfect sense to me.
I like Gin-Gin. Thank you very much. I'm sticking
with Gin-Gin. Gin-Gin is pretty funny.
Gin-Gin is solid.
The blue Gin-Gin. Because you got to reference that it's blue.
Okay. I accept this alternative. So, anyway.
Yeah, no. And again, we have consumed worse.
Right.
But you've also consumed better.
Also that.
Yeah.
There is that. So, maybe we should start a round of hey, Salsa. What have you been doing?
What did I do? I had, you know, just a little thing, over this weekend where my daughter turned 11.
Gross. I didn't think she was allowed to do that. Oh, I was going to say,
congratulations.
Like,
yeah, well, she didn't invite me to her party. So I'm mad at her.
No, she didn't invite a lot of people to her party because, she's getting still mad at too her. Old for that nonsense. She only invites a few kids over and they watch, you know, the new Disney movie together.
Okay.
So yeah, my daughter's getting older and by extension so am I.
Aww.
That's just the passage of time for you.
God.
Yep. No, the other thing we did is on Saturday we went to the Minnesota Scottish Fair.
Ooh, it's been a grip since I've been to that.
It was
where are they doing that?
At McAllister.
Oh, they're still at McAllister.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I feel like there was a year or two that they weren't, and then they came back.
Yeah, they've moved around a little bit, but yeah, they're at McAllister. But yeah, we went and we saw the dance competitions.
Nice.
Both my wife and her sister did Scottish dance when they were younger. And so we got... my wife was busy. She was teaching Academy at Fest, but I was there with my sister-in-law. And she was... telling the kids and me about all the different things about the Scottish dance competition that they certainly didn't know. And I didn't know half of it either.
Sure.
You know, just various things like, you know, this is what they're looking for. This is why they're doing this. This is how this works. You know, like the chantreuse, like I've been familiar with the chantreuse dance before. It sounded vaguely French, which always confused me a little bit, but it was this Scottish dance. And I found out that it means without pants. And the dance is, there's a lot of kicking motions in the dance because they are symbolically kicking off trousers that were forced upon them by the English colonizers.
Oh, that's delightful.
So the first part of the dance is them kicking off trousers, and then the second latter half of the dance is them doing leaps and, you know, flinging their kilts up in the air saying, look how free I am, not wearing trousers on my legs. And wonderful. It was so, like, knowing that, watching the dance again, it was like, this has totally different meanings now. wow, I can see it. just, you know, some of the different steps that they do, and you know, like the first part of the dance is the same for everybody. That's this step and this step and this step. But when you get to like the third movement, there's like a few different steps that you can do in any order. So okay. It was like, because I was watching these dances and they always started doing identical things. But then at a certain point, they just suddenly started. I was like, are they allowed to freestyle here or what? Or is somebody screwing up? Like, what is going right. on actually? And it was just like, no, there you can do any of these particular steps in any order. And so you're, when they're off breaking off, it's one's doing one thing and one's doing another thing. And it's like, oh, you know, that's and just having fun. Somebody like explain that to you and then being able to watch the dance again and go, oh, I can see what's happening.
Right.
No, was very cool. Very cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they did, what other dance did they do? They did the Latty. And then they did the Fling. We wanted to see the
I had a dance. Date like that once.
Yeah. We wanted to see the Latty,
then
dance.
Did the Fling.
Yep. We you wanted know. To see the sword dance, but we just missed the sword dance, unfortunately.
Gotta
but
get
then,
there
yeah, and then we went and got some shortbread. Nice. And then we got some pasties, some nice. Meat pies. Yummy, yummy, yummy. And then, yeah, watched some Highland Games and listened to some pipes and drums. And it was just a good time. You know, we spent a few hours there soaking it all in, enjoying it. And then we got soaked. Because the That's heavens right. fucking opened up. We actually didn't get to see much of the Highland Games because that got rained out. But yeah, me and my kids all wearing our kilts wandering around. I got some amazing news. Jenna will know exactly who I'm talking about here, but there's some people at Fest. There's the Scottish dance, the Royal Scottish Dancing
Highland Dancers.
Yeah, thank dancers. You. Yeah, I.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what people?
Exactly. a couple of them, you know, we got done watching the dance, and we were wandering over to get some food, and I saw a couple of them walking, and it was like, hey, hi, how's it going? You know, I know them through Fest.
Right.
And like we're Fest friends, which means I say hi to them, but I don't know their names. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people I know at Fest that are like this, which is probably me being a dumbass because I'm just terrible with names.
Oh, I do it too. So yeah,
I'm terrible with names, but
it's hard enough remembering people's names when you don't have three of them to remember and five yeah. different outfit changes in different
yeah, exactly.
time periods. So. Like, yeah. No, I get that entirely.
But anyway, mm-hmm. I ran into him. I were chatting for a couple minutes, you know, hey, how's it going? You know, seeing this, having just got here, you know, saw this happen. And then she turns to him and goes, do you want to tell him or should I?
Okay.
Which is two things. I don't know them that well
mm-hmm.
and usually when somebody says something like that it either means they know you pretty well and they're about to drop a truth on you or you've got like a booger hanging out of your nose
yeah mm-hmm.
and it's probably not
good outcomes
exactly so I'm just like okay so
I was gonna go with like married or pregnant or something
yeah
know.
Exactly like are, yeah. are you gonna tell them that we're getting a divorce or something like that it's just like I don't know why you would be telling me in this way like we're not close enough for
oh,
that
I'm gonna start doing of... that to strangers entirely I'm not currently getting a divorce like... I'm not married I can't but like right. I'm gonna start doing that to complete strangers
just like
you gonna tell them
yeah
but it did. It completely. I was just like, ooh, because it didn't seem like the first, so it was gonna be the second. Like I was like, I've got spinach in my teeth or something.
Right.
But she goes, "Do you want to tell him or should I?" And he looks at me and he goes, "You are an NPC in my D&D game."
What the shit? What the shit?
Their campaign is taking them through essentially a carnival.
Okay.
And one of their stage acts, NPCs, is Casimir.
That's so good. You, Salsa, you've made it.
I was walking on fucking cloud nine for the rest of the day.
Are you kidding? That is the highest honor I can achieve.
I was fucking floored. I had no words. My jaw hit the floor. I was absolute like, what do you, I had no words. It was amazing. I felt so happy and it was amazing. I was just like, that is the best possible news I could have ever gotten. That's incredible. Casimir was an NPC in someone's D&D campaign. How cool is that?
Yay!
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I was super happy. Yeah, nice. And then yeah, like I said, we enjoyed the rest of the thing, and then we got soaked, so we went home.
Well, that stands to reason.
Yeah. Wish we could have stayed a little longer and done some other stuff, but them's the breaks, you know. We weren't going to wait for the rain to stop, because who knows how long it was going to wait.
Right. So
just went home.
So. No, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. Mm. What about you, Jenna?
Well, so my daughter had a birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Both of our daughters had birthdays. How delightful.
Yeah, cheers. Mine turned 24. So you think you feel old, motherfucker.
That's pretty great.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm just going to go roll over and die now, if that's okay with you. God. My daughter's 11. I feel so old. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Did your daughter watch Descendants 4 as well?
No, I don't think so. We are actually going out for her birthday tomorrow evening.
Awesome.
So it's one of those things. Like, convergence has always fallen around her birthday. So we get to see each other and do a little bit of a, hey, congratulations on getting older thing. But this is how old my daughter is.
How old is she?
24. She went to a steak place and signed up for their club so that she could get free birthday coupons for her birthday with their steak place club. And so tomorrow night, she and I and her father are all going to go to this steak place so that she can use her coupons for being in the club to get free birthday steak.
Yay.
I'm like, you really were born a 40-year-old woman, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The years have not dulled that edge.
Nope. So, yeah. So she's very excited about this.
To be fair, free birthday steak is pretty exciting.
I know, right? Like, I'm not against it. I'm just like, you're 24. I didn't think signing up for coupons was a thing yet, but...
Yeah, no, Jenna's extremely proud, just in a geriatric way.
Piss off. Fucker.
I know, I feel awkward as the youngest person here. Who does not have any children. And never will.
And don't feel awkward about that at all.
No.
Okay.
But, yeah, so, and then, I mean, honestly, I've been kind of just staying in overall because I went to Convergence and there were several people that got the vid, including some people that I had hung out with. So I have tested negative like for basically a week straight now or I guess for a week now.
Sure.
And okay, never mind.
Oh, no. I was going to say something, but I didn't want to like ruin your flow.
but I have no flow. What were you going to say, Tom?
There was a bi joke in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was. Yay! Okay, somebody did get it. Yeah!
Of course I did!
But, yeah, so I, Sunday, after testing negative the entire time. I did a fencing booth thing with James.
who's not here to defend himself.
He really is.
He's not here to defend himself.
Sucker. I was only there for like the first hour-ish. But no, we had a booth camp. And so there was some, you know, getting caught up on the booth news and what people are going to be about and all the rest of that. So I did get to hold a little tiny baby, though.
Baby!
One of our friends.
An itty bitty.
An itty bit. We're talking like 2 weeks old.
Oh, really? Itty, 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 itty.
Really, yeah, itty bitty.
Teeny tiny.
Yeah, a mutual friend of ours had a baby. And a mutual friend was there with the baby. And I said, can I steal your baby now? And they said yes. And so then I stole the baby. And then it farted baby on stealer. My hand.
Did you steal it from a stupid daikini while they were taking a pee-pee?
No, they just kind of handed it to me, really. Oh, okay. But, yeah.
Can you Wait, say
what was the
you
thing
did?
About in your hand?
Oh, yeah. So I'm holding the baby. I'm, you know, cradling the baby all nice. And it farted a lot because babies do that.
They do.
They're gassy and they don't know how to process it. And like this baby just kept farting on my hand like you wouldn't believe. I was like, Jesus Christ, baby.
That's Where better than the alternative. That?
Right. I don't know. It may have shit in my hand, too. There was a diaper and like layers involved. Like, yeah. It's not like it was bare hand on bare butt or anything like that. But like.
I thought you were metal, Jenna.
I am, but the baby needs to work up to it. You can't expect a 2-week-old baby to be metal, all right?
I expect they're like great things because together. I don't condescend the baby. The baby just
metal
needs an opportunity.
Experience. And you know what? It's not the baby's fault that it hasn't had the opportunity for the experience to be metal as fuck yet. Like, It's still an awesome baby, but like you got to build into like pure metal as fuck. The baby has potential. I'm not going to negate that at all. Baby has metal potential. Yeah.
Anyway, I accept your apology.
Fuck you. So anyway, the baby was adorable, and hanging out with Boothies was adorable. That's besides work, because I'm like right in the middle of a financial cycle. Like, God, I have too much to do this week, and most of it is work.
Yeah.
I was logged on until 6 p.m. today.
Gross.
Started at 7 a.m.
Oh, that's really gross.
Yeah. I don't expect that to change for most of the week. Thursday might be exciting, but, you know, I'll do it again. So anyway.
Yeah. I thankfully don't have to deal with that, but when there's a code release, then it's... Mm-hmm. Who knows how long I'll be around?
Yeah. Yay. Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm glad to hear that your quarantine was effective and that you never caught it.
Yeah, never got it. So I couldn't spread it, but also I'm glad I took the precautions.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's really the big thing. Mm-hmm. When I got like that 6th test in a row negative, we did go out for brunch. So that was nice, but. I don't know. We did brunch at Morrissey's like we do like every other fucking week. So I didn't feel like, you know.
My wife has found a new brunch place near our house.
Ooh. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. We were super excited. Because when we moved to Bloomington.
Tom
like,
and I
all
are
of...
brunch fans. Continue.
Yeah.
Well, because I. Well, like when I'm we also moved in to that Bloomington, neck of the woods.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Like when we moved to Bloomington, we couldn't find a good like breakfasty diner.
There really aren't any like the one in that I knew of closed.
When we lived in South Minneapolis, we had one just a few blocks away that was fantastic. Sure. We absolutely loved it. We went, you know, all the time. But yeah, we moved down here and there wasn't one that we could really find. And then a few weeks back, my wife stumbled on a place and took the kids there. And it was, that kind of brunchy diner place that closes at 2 o'clock.
Well, what's it called?
Like, yeah, what's it called?
I don't know what it's called.
Damn it!
My wife knows, and I don't. You're not going to come down this way anyway.
Tom will.
I will. Did you not know that
I don't
that
expect
I
you
here?
To be nice to me, but you could be nice
no
to a guest.
Where you live.
Jesus,
I'm gonna pout.
Tom literally said they don't live that far from you.
Yeah, but I don't know where you live. I don't know where that is.
I'm in Richfield.
Okay, but so it's still further away than you.
Okay, but Bloomington's not that far from me. Bloomington's literally
across
that way.
Southern Bloomington.
Yeah,
Bloomington is not tiny. Bloomington is.
Well, I didn't say it was tiny. I didn't say it was tiny.
Bloomington's sprawl.
But like, okay. Look, it's easier than going to Hell's Kitchen for me, which I dearly miss.
Don't know if I've never been to Hell's Kitchen. I told you about my one opportunity.
That one's in downtown.
I told you about my opportunity to go to Hell's Kitchen, right?
I haven't heard this story.
I got hired at this new place that I'm working now. And my very first day, it was like, you know, you go in, you meet the manager, and the manager takes you to dinner or to lunch.
Sure, lunch.
And, and so, like, it was me and this other guy who was also in the same department, like, or departments next to each other. And the two managers together were like, let's take them to Hell's Kitchen for lunch. And the two of us are like, we're going to Hell's Kitchen for fucking lunch? What? I've never been to Hell's Kitchen. This is amazing. So we take the Skyway and we go to Hell's Kitchen, and it's closed on Monday.
No, oh, that's right. It is closed on Monday.
So I still haven't been to Hell's Kitchen. I was going to eat there for free, and I've still never been there.
You should ask your boss to take you on a day to make up for that. I assume you went to lunch elsewhere, so that is probably not for they would extend it to you, but still.
I don't know.
It's the principle of the thing.
It is, yes.
Your boss still owes you Hell's Kitchen. Anyway, let me know where this brunch place is. It's like you're gatekeeping it from me.
It's called Perk Up Kitchen.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
Well, then you didn't need me.
Well, then why didn't you tell Salsa about it, Tom? God.
Yeah, seriously, where were you?
Okay. In my defense, I heard the name once, thought, ooh, I should go there, and then promptly forgot about it. Just the name just exited my brain, and that's what happened.
Uh-huh.
Until you said it. Just
that's an interesting defense you're making there, Tom.
Yeah. I think I think that's the name of the place.
Yes, you are correct. And yes, I have scoped it out. So yes, I will be patronizing Perk Up Kitchen.
Looks like old Shock
Tea
in
patronize.
France.
God.
We don't patronize restaurants.
Don't be patronizing.
I'm sorry.
It's a patronizing.
There you go.
That's where you get drunk on tequila there.
Patron. Ooh. Wait. Did you say patron with a French accent?
That was my Spanish accent. I'm not good at accents. I don't know if you know
this. Accents are
hard, man.
Look, man, accents are really hard.
Have you heard my Schwarzenegger? It's bad.
Yes,
I have actually.
I haven't. There's a lot.
I have. I don't recommend it.
Oh, okay.
Unless it's
I was charity. I was in an improv game at Die Laughing years ago. And I was supposed to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, and apparently my Schwarzenegger was so bad that even the people who knew what I was supposed to be doing
Bless
were like,
you.
"What the fuck is he doing?"
Yeah,
oof.
I don't. I'm not good at accents. I'm great at languages. I'm not good at accents.
Well, and accents. So my cursory understanding from taking a linguistics 101 course, and like. Hearing a dialect coach talk about it is it's difficult to get an accent to the point where it's ingrained in you so that it just comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it takes a lot of practice.
I have studied, I'm fluent in German. I lived in Switzerland. I speak that fluently. I've studied Russian. I've studied German. I've, you know, studied Latin. Like, because of those, like, virtually every language in Europe I can read. But I can't do the accents for shit.
It's hard.
So, anyway.
Anyway.
Should we take a break and then go into more detail about what Tom's got going on?
Yeah, I think that's
the one. Teaser?
Teaser.
What a tease.
I know, right?
Tom, right, has tease.
Oh, that was good.
Yes!
So we're going to take a break, and when we be back, we will talk about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
You're so old, Salsa. I'm getting irrationally angry about thumb holes in clothing.
What are you talking about? How dare you?
Oh, God. Whatever, youngin.
Yeah, fuck that. Wait, we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Tom.
Yay!
Yeah,
speaking of Tom.
Yeah, talk to Tom about what Tom is doing.
And I'm guessing you're not asking about how Tom's doing in Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time or the camping trip I have planned.
We're asking. I don't know what you were thinking.
I mean, I've seen Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time. I'm just really the only thing I have to say about Ocarina of Time is that I'm sad it's almost over.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. It's a classic
for a reason.
Well, and the other thing is, I think I've spent over a year playing this game.
And I'm
getting
really savoring it, or just long pauses in between.
Well, so I stream it on Saturday mornings, and I stream it for about hours at a time. Because there's only so long I can stream before I get tired of it.
So you're playing, but it's intermittent. Yeah.
Yes, it is intermittent. I'm not just powering through it.
Sure.
So that's really the only thing. That's really kind of the only thing I have to say about it. Other than I'm not looking forward to that, the boss fight.
I got Tears of the Kingdom for Christmas, I use my Switch for something to keep me occupied when I'm traveling, doing shows and Renaissance festivals and corporate and gigs all over the fucking place. You know, so when I'm gone on business, I have the Switch with me to keep me occupied. And so I purposefully didn't play Tears of the Kingdom for 4 months because it was I'm going to need this come my busy season. And now I'm halfway through my busy season and I'm remembering just how fucking big these games are. And I'm like, oh no, that's cool.
Huge game.
It's fucking power through.
Yeah. You know? Oh my God. I'm feeling a frustration with Tears of the Kingdom that I wasn't with Ocarina. Even though Ocarina of Time has its own frustrations, Jenna can attest how many times I've cursed out the fucking camera Ocarina of Time
because it behaves
so poorly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I understand that this was cutting edge for 1998, but still
a lot of games from that era have the same problem. It's true.
It's so I've dragged myself through this story because I want to see how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've come, there were a couple of times where I was very close to rage quitting Ocarina of Time, but I persevered, and damn it, if I give up now, it won't feel very good at all.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's one thing I've been doing.
Going back and playing the first Resident Evil game. Mm-hmm. It was just oh my God, the controls were so fucking awful.
Yeah.
So bad.
Oh, I have plenty of angry things to say about the C buttons as well. Perhaps some C words for the C buttons.
Ooh, I get it.
We have progressed as a society.
Indeed.
Anyway, so that's Tears of the Kingdom. What else was the other thing?
Well, that was Ocarina of Time. I'm actually Tears of the Kingdom. I'm
sorry. Yeah,
more.
Ocarina of Time. And
one of the Zeldas. Who gives a shit?
Goddamn many of them.
There are so goddamn many
Zelda. Zelda is one of those games or franchises that kind of quietly became fucking huge.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh yeah, there's a few Zelda games, and then you start to name them, and you're like, there's like 20 of them.
Right.
You know, casual 20.
Exactly. It just kind of quietly became a monstrous thing. Mm-hmm. And it's that, not to say that's a bad thing, because that they're awesome games, but like some franchises like Assassin's Creed, everybody's like, oh, you know, Assassin's Creed new games come out all the fucking time. Everybody's like, ah, sure. It's so big, you know, but like there are just as many Zelda games. But it did so kind of like at a good pace and at a good rhythm. At a good rhythm, and yeah. It was spread out across a few different platforms, and it just kind of quietly became huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm gonna work through Tears of the Kingdom. It's just gonna take me a lot longer, and I'm gonna have to take breaks just because I get overwhelmed with open world games. Because for me, I like linear experiences where it's like you have to do this thing before you can do this thing, and then you have to do this thing in order to get to this thing, and they build on each other in a way that open world games just feel like there's so much at once. And I'm also very bad at games.
Yeah. Okay. So I just Googled it. So if these numbers are wrong, don't fucking at me, bro. Assassin's Creed, everybody goes, oh, there's so many fucking Assassin's Creed games out there, right? Assassin's Creed games, there are 13 Assassin's Creed games.
Okay.
Guess how many Zelda games there are?
24. 25. Oh.
More.
30.
29.
Jesus Christ.
And there's another one coming out. Zeldas. And there's another one coming out in November.
Isn't that the one with does that the one
where Zelda's the main character?
I'm excited about that one.
That one is on my wish list for Christmas. I'm really looking forward to that one. And there's another Mario game coming out in August or September.
Whatever.
So
I just don't care that much about Mario, but that's okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Like Assassin's Creed, everybody talks about how it's gotten so huge and unwieldy, and twice as many Zelda games. And it just kind of quietly and organically did that, which is awesome.
29 Zeldas is the name of my memoirs.
29 Zeldas.
That's a great sapphic. That is a very sapphic memoir name.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. 29 Zeldas is a great blog name.
Oh, I'm going to steal, like, I'm gonna steal
like
it.
Like a gamer blog. Yeah.
Like a sapphic gamer blog. We'll get even more niche up in here.
Do it.
That's the one thing. I mean, the bike camping trip, I'm just like, that's mostly at its planning stages, but I'm excited about that. We get to
talk about that. Talk about whatever you want to.
What?
Yeah.
But we teased something. Well, we're building up to it. Anyway.
Are we?
We fuck with structures in this thing. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, where are you thinking of bike camping?
So I'm actually going with a group, because I tried bike camping last September solo and it did not go well. I got very scared. All of the animals making noise in the forest and me being like a single person who like looks the way I do out in the woods alone just was not my idea of a good time. It was not good.
Right.
I'm going with a group of folks. We are going to the Carver Park Reserve. Which has a group campground. It's 25 miles west of like St. Louis Park.
Not terribly far away.
No, it's not far. It's like 25 miles, and I can see that ride. That's not a problem for me. Okay. But I
thought you were going to say in like northern, you know, Wisconsin or something like that.
Oh God, no.
Oh, see, that's like patty cake for me.
Oh, good for you. Well, okay, is it like, okay, because we're going to be riding our bikes the whole way there.
I
did not mean to bury the lead, but apparently I did.
I don't know what bike camping is. I don't own a bike, nor do I fucking want to, because I hate bikes. I fucking hate them.
All more for the
rest
of us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. More power to you.
You've wounded me, Salsa.
More power to me. No, when I, like, I rode a bike to college all the time, you know, every day when I was doing that, and I just fucking hated it. But for me, sure. I have bad associations with bikes, because that was always, I wrestled in high school, and one of the ways we cut weight was cycling.
Oh, and so,
like,
geez.
Bicycling is, for me, is not like, we're going to have fun out here. It's just bicycling.
Oh, so it's torture.
It's torture. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But yeah, so sometimes it's called bike packing. So, like, instead of backpacking, it's bike packing. Sure.
Well, but I assumed you were going to drive to a location and then bike into the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I could certainly do that. But I did want to try, like, biking all the way from a place.
From start to finish. Yeah, good. Exactly. More power to you. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it works with all of my gear on the back. The tent is going to be the fun one, but I have a plan for that.
Yeah, when you're doing backpacking like that, you really quickly discover what is necessary.
Yep. You also figure out how to pack really, really light. And also, even though I have strapped a bear canister to the back of my bike, I do not recommend it. God, that was, it made for a very unwieldy ride.
Anyway.
Stuff and
Tom,
things.
Is there anything else going on?
Is there something, that you want to tell us about?
As a matter of fact, I'm just producing this little show. In a little local theater festival. It's called the McStylish Play.
We have local
Play.
Theater?
Sorry. The local theater festival?
It's been known to happen before, Jenna.
We don't do theater around here.
Oh, bullshit!
So anyway, what's it called again, Tom? Because I think I stepped on you as you were actually writing the name.
Oh, you're good. It's called the McStylish Play. And what did I say? What?
I was going to say, Salsa was at the Scottish heritage thing. Is it a Scottish play?
I mean, it's kind of.
Okay, Tom, tell us about the mixed Scottish play.
I'd be glad to tell you about the mixed Scottish play.
Please do.
One part like comedic fantasy, one part heartfelt story about friendship, and a love letter to gay theater nerds, because the premise concerns a student director named Mark, who is putting on a production of Macbeth for his senior project, and it has gone completely off the rails. Everything that conceivably could go wrong in a rehearsal process has gone wrong. And now he's lost half his cast to illness and family emergency.
Oh no.
The night before they're supposed to perform.
Oh no.
So there's that. And then by some mysterious, unexplained magic, he gets whisked into medieval Scotland, where he meets characters from Macbeth and has to find his way home. Meanwhile, because we got an A plot, and meanwhile in the B plot, two characters discover both that they are queer and have crushes on each other, and their well-meaning friend just blurts it out by accident.
Don't give away too much, but
okay.
Yeah. We want people to go, you know, be surprised by some of this, you know, spoilers.
I've spoiled my own show, damn it.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you probably have a pretty good crew working on that. I mean, sounds like particularly the director and the fight choreographer.
I mean, the director sounds like an asshole, but
I was going to say both the director and the fight choreographer are just killing it.
Killing it. If I'm killing
Ixnay on the Illing K.
The choreographer should not kill. You are safely making it appear as though you are killing it. How's that? Is that better?
That's lovely then. Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Well, I actually do kind of want to like talk y'all up because when I handed the script off to you, Salsa, I didn't quite have a conception of, for example, the people that Mark meets from the play. I didn't really have a conception of what they, I kind of just literally thought, you know, he's in medieval Scotland and these are actual people that he's interacting with. But I think I like your notion of them kind of being sort of not, I don't know if figments of his imagination is accurate because they are like real and corporeal, but they're mm-hmm. like projections that he brings with him.
Mm-hmm. And so I like the idea of keeping it a little vague as to, has he actually been sent back in time to Macbeth? Mm-hmm. Has he been sucked into a book? Is he just hallucinating? Like, I don't want that to be certain. And so when I'm making the characterizations for the people in the alternate reality, mm-hmm. it is, I wanted them to be real, but also have elements of that kind of like
fantastical.
Yeah, exactly. Having those fantastical like elements. Yeah. Just having like the actors acting like they would if they were in a stage production
mm-hmm.
a little bit, but not
larger
fully.
Than life is yeah. the phrase that comes to mind. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
Yeah. So there is some of the characterization as of those characters is supposed to be intentionally a little vague as to
yeah.
whether or not they're being overly dramatic Shakespearean actors or historical individuals. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I had a lot of fun with this, just reading through the script and kind of finding those like, how does this play? How do we portray this? How do we, mm-hmm. how do we make this parallel with what's happening on the other side of the curtain, things like that.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Legitimately, I enjoy the script a great deal. It makes me laugh. It makes me laugh every time
I just get really, really excited when something I wrote and thought was funny. Like, I give it to somebody else and they also think it's funny. I was like, I succeeded. Mm-hmm. I did it.
But it does. It has a really good arc of mm-hmm. like where they start and where they end. Both yeah. have it. It's got those the parallels, but also like the evolution of everybody superimposed on top of it. So mm-hmm. it's well composed as far as like a structure of a story goes. So.
I can't handle all the nice things you're saying about me.
You said nice things to me. I needed to reflect. I needed to deflect.
No, that's fair.
Jenna, you did a great job too.
I'm fucking amazing. Yeah.
You are amazing.
Whatever. I know what I'm about. Dishes.
Anyway, Jenna's doing something with it.
Yeah, I'm doing fight choreography. Although
you are doing fight choreography.
It's, I like, Every fight, every act of violence that happens in a play has its own flavor and its own vibe. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely like the vibe that we developed for this one is definitely different than previous ones I've done. Overall, I've done a few that are more slapsticky, but I don't know that I would even call this like slapsticky. It's just the vibe is. It's like silly, but still serious,
mm-hmm.
but big. Yeah. And I don't know how to describe it better than that, you know?
It's got that same melodramatic surrealism
mm-hmm.
because this is happening in the alternate reality. And so even mm-hmm. the fight has that same like weirdness.
Yeah. And that's definitely something I was trying to capture. I do try to keep all of my fights to stay in theme with the play. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, I fully believe in my egotism that I could choreograph something that is like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where it's beautiful and dancey and all of the rest of this. But I don't think that would fit with your show. That's not really the vibe.
Man, as beautiful as Macbeth and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Oh, somebody's probably done that.
I'm sure.
As gorgeous show. As that would be, yes, that is not right. This show, unfortunately.
Rule 42 states there is already a porn about this. So
that's rule 34, you old person.
Oh, it's rule 34. Sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Wow. I'm not up on my porn rules. Sorry.
You really should be, friend. Like, you're going to get pulled over by the porn police and they're going to write you a porn ticket.
Do the porn police?
You're going to have to go to porn jail, which is somehow sexier than regular jail.
The porn
jail.
Police definitely strip.
But they start with hot pants.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And course, then they do the tear away thing.
Yeah, the tear away thing.
Nails thing. Yeah.
Look, what I'm saying is
somehow have
not
even shorter hot pants.
If you're not into handcuffs, you're not going to have a good time. All right? I'm just saying.
Basically, if the porn police show up, there's going to be handcuffs and a banana hammock. That's the way this works.
That's the rules.
Anyway, rule 34 says that there is definitely porn.
If you can
this.
Think of it, there is porn right. of it. Which I wasn't proposing like Macbeth and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon porn, just to be clear. I know you weren't suggesting it.
No, you were suggesting something that might be beautiful and lovely and moving.
Like
and
porn.
Salsa was suggesting porn.
Porn can be lovely and moving. Thank you.
I believe that's
how did we get so far off these rails?
or
have you,
romance.
Have you heard our podcast before,
be,
Tom?
It could be steamy.
I've never
romance.
Heard it before in my life.
Bridgerton, I think, would fall
Bridgerton
under.
Bridgerton is porn?
Beautiful.
Oh, okay. Kind of,
basically. It's Jane Austen.
Okay.
In Joe's words, it's Jane Austen that fucks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of steamy scenes. It's not, like, there's no, like,
butts.
Porn, but, like.
Butts. Mm, well, I'm sure there's many butts in Bridgerton, just maybe they're clothed butts.
Oh, no, nope, there are unclothed butts.
There's nude butts.
There are unclothed. There are nude butts. Yeah. There's...
Nude butts is the name of my debut album.
Mm.
Also,
don't know what genre, nice, but...
I don't know if you know this, Tom, but during the Victorian era, once it was clothed, butts ceased to exist.
Scandalous.
Quite the opposite.
Not scandalous.
No. Victorian people didn't have bodies. Goodness no.
No.
Oh, geez. Those.
Although Bridgerton isn't Victorian, it's Regency. Some people do.
I was going to say Edwardian.
Bridgerton is Regency.
It's Regency.
Regency.
Okay.
The Queen Charlotte, the prequel thing, is earlier, but Queen Charlotte. As the actual regent does appear in the show. It is very Regency era. So
okay. I had to look up when that was because I confess that I could not tell you when it was.
Regency era is roughly 1810 to 1817.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit later. Oh. I don't know.
Like it's English history is not my forte. Ask me about the Plantagenets and I'll talk your fucking ear off. But like,
Wikipedia says, oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, you go.
Wikipedia says the Regency era of British history is commonly described as the years between circa 1795 and 1837, although the official Regency for which it is named only spanned the years 1811 to 1820 because it's a king.
There we go.
Yeah.
King George III, I think.
Yeah, the Mad King.
Yeah,
yep.
The Mad King.
Yeah.
I was gonna say something about like, there are like the other. That's the kind of the other thing that I liked handing off to you because I'm like, I just need a fight scene. I need like this outcome, and I think what you came up with absolutely fits what we're trying to do here.
I do try to. It's weird because I feel like as a fight choreographer, there are two very specific things that I have to handle. I need to make sure everybody's safe, which means I can't have people argue with me about the best way to do a stunt or what kind of stunts should happen or what. So kind of like every actor has done this. what if I did this? Like, that happens every time I go to choreograph a fight. And I'm like, no, it either isn't safe, doesn't fit the theme, doesn't fit in with the rest of the fucking choreography. Like, so there is a part of me that's like, no, you don't get to have a say. You get to have a say if you feel unsafe about something. If your body hurts, if you feel this is not healthy for you in some way, you get to say, have a say if something makes you uncomfortable. But you don't get to then tell me how we're going to fix that. That's my job. Right. And I do want people to tell me if they hurt, can't do a thing specific, whatever. Like, I do want that feedback. But yeah, I have to. It's doing fight choreography, there's always this back and forth of needing to establish my own boundaries while still taking into account the needs of the cast. As far as I can accommodate that while keeping them safe and everybody happy. So that's one chunk of it. But the other chunk is having conversations with the director, with the actors about character and story. Because those are things, especially like the story, the theme, the outcome, all of those things. Those are things that I do need to listen to other people about. Those are the things that I need to make sure that we're capturing. Because if I, again, if I choreograph a beautiful fight and it doesn't belong in that scene, then I have fucked everybody. It doesn't matter how awesome that fight is. So, yeah, listening to you and Salsa talk about what it is that you wanted for this fight and being able to integrate everything. Yeah, I was very pleased with that. And I really, I feel like I kept it on theme. So, you know, it's my job. It's what I do. I'm amazing.
You are. Nobody is disputing that.
Sure. And Jenna, I'm sure Jenna and I will continue to talk about this show as we get closer and closer to the actual run of the Fringe Festival. But
I'm not nervous at all.
Yeah, but we do have Tom here, so let's ask Tom a couple questions. I have a question, honestly, about the whole genesis of this play. I know that in various literature that you have written down, this stemmed originally from a Facebook post or a blog post that gave you the idea. And then how did it evolve from there?
So this is, as far as I can remember, I think I started kind of noodling around with this in 2018. I think the Facebook post might come from a year before that. And it was a family friend of mine who was like, oh, what if there was a production of Macbeth where no one could say Macbeth? And I'm like, oh, that's funny. I kind of like that. Can I make that into a whole thing? And I was kind of talking
mission
about
accomplished.
It. Here's the thing, though. I was kind of envisioning like Macbeth. I still kind of want to write this as a separate. I think it works better as a sketch. But like, I was imagining a whole like tragedy of Macbeth realizing his name is cursed and trying to break it only to and like the thing that I remember from that is I think Banquo dies from saying Macbeth from an accident. Somebody else, I think it's King Duncan dies from saying Macbeth because he says Macbeth on accident and something happens. Lady Macbeth says Macbeth and then dies. Then Macduff kills I think he might kill Macduff, and then he's like, "I'm the cursed name of Mick," and then the lights will go down, and that was the end of the.
Yeah, yeah.
So very little of that has survived into the version. I think the only thing, well, I suppose the ending kind of does.
Which sense. You know, stories are always tangents off of tangents, but like, it's interesting to see like where the nugget started.
Yeah. The thing that survived all three versions is actually the first scene with the witches doing their first lines from scene one, and the youngest one is about to say Macbeth and we shush her. That's those few lines are the only thing that survived from that version to this one.
I do like that scene a lot.
It's so good. I love it. And I love how I was able to kind of recontextualize it into like, surprise! It's the, mm-hmm. the prestige. They this is not the, these aren't medieval Scotland at all. Ha ha.
Oh, spoilers.
I mean, it literally happened. Hopefully people will forget about it by the time they actually see the show.
Forget about what? But sure, don't forget that the show exists. About. You should definitely go see it.
Yes. I'm going to pop a link into the chat so you can put it in the show notes.
Oh, definitely do that.
Oh, wow. Tom's so way better at this shit than I am.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I know that, like, because originally when I first saw this script, when you first approached me with the script, it was completely different already.
Yep.
Because it was it was just basically like a one act that was a stage reading.
Yes.
And was not a fully staged production. And a lot has changed. Can you kind of talk about how it evolved and what made you make the changes that you did, or?
So
like the different evolutionary steps of the play.
Yeah, I can talk about that. So as I mentioned, so the first version was a legitimate tragedy. It was not a comedy at all. It was kind of a retooling, and I was going to use as much of Macbeth as possible. And I'm like, I kind of want more of my own stuff in here. So I shelved it from like 2020 to 2022 or 2023. And then started working on it late 2022, early 2023. And the reason I bring up the dates is I'm trying to retrace what I did. So I think I wrote the first scene and was like, you know, I think a sort of play within a play situation works a little better for comedy. And then it became sort of Macbeth gone wrong, and this director is at his wit's end. In the second version, the cast is kind of like, I don't know if against him, against Mark is, but they are clearly more interested in screwing around than, I mean, there's still some screwing around in this final version. But there's like a higher percentage of people just fucking around and and not being on task. And that's the thing that gets Mark that I did in the second version. In the second version, Mark kind of blows up at Duncan for like screwing around, this aforementioned screwing around. The third version came about because I knew I was gonna be in a Fringe show, and like I was talking to all of the folks, some of whom are in this very call right now. Were like, not it. Nose goes. Nobody knows nose goes. Anyway. Yes, talking to various folks, and it was like, oh, 9 characters, huh? I'm like, I should probably cut that down, shouldn't I? And they're like, yeah, you probably should. I'm like, I think I need to rework this. There is a subplot. So in the second version, there is a subplot of two people kind of realizing their gay inclinations and maybe getting together. I knew I wanted to keep that. I knew I wanted to keep Duncan in as a character. And I knew I wanted to keep... I wanted to keep Mark and the three witches and Duncan, and I wanted a Lady Macbeth in there to interact with. The other major thing is I realized with that first scene, I had this whole like two worlds thing going on that I didn't play with in the second version. And I'm like, I want to do that. So I suspect that people are going to make comparisons to it's a subgenre of story called isekai, where it's like somebody's transported to another world. I'm not necessarily inviting those comparisons, but I'm sure people will make them.
Sure.
And I'm okay with that.
There's nothing new in the world today.
No,
everything really is. Yeah, exactly. Everything is going to be, oh, they did that in this. Simpsons did it. You know.
Yeah. Well, and like I'll be very honest. The mechanism by which Mark gets transported to wherever is very heavily inspired by the fact that I was playing What Remains of Edith Finch, which all of the memories are activated by like reading text, whether it's like a journal or an essay or a poem or whatever.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, nothing is new.
Nothing is new.
You go back to like Mozart and Beethoven, and they were borrowing from like shepherd tunes. Like that, nothing is new. That this is.
Oh hell.
Yeah. So
hell, even Shakespeare borrowed. So
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as Shakespeare made things up, but they were mostly dick jokes. So
also that.
Well, you know.
No,
who
I do
love a good Shakespearean dick joke.
I do love having been involved in this project from version 2 all the way to the current version. Some of the Easter eggs in the current version to version 2 that are going to be completely lost to audiences, but they're kind of in there for the cast that were involved with versions 2 and 3. And there are there are like dear listeners, if you do go, I'm sorry, when you go see this show,
yes,
there is, you know,
Troy, we expect your presence in a couple of weeks.
Mark does have a scene where he talks about all of the individuals who for various reasons have had to drop out of this play. All of those characters were originally in version 2.
And oh my god, that's hilarious.
Yeah, no, like
I love it. It's so really good.
It is brilliant because you're just like, yeah, these people, you know, got a broken leg and these people got sick, and it's just like all of those characters were characters in version 2. And I
except for Trevor.
That.
We didn't
except for Trevor.
Trevor was like a character in that he was mentioned but he wasn't ever on stage.
Sure. But god it was just it, like Trevor. Like all of like these god these are it, all Trevor. Callbacks to previous versions of the show, and I love that some of those jokes are just for us.
some jokes can be just for us. It's okay.
Yeah. But dear listeners, yeah, when you hear the litany of characters who succumbed to the curse, those characters have a backstory. And that's a little Easter egg that I think you should be aware of and appreciate, because it is really funny. So anything else you want to talk about this play, Tom? Some of the characters or actors or... I mean, if you want to
who's your favorite fight choreographer?
You
want to
talk about how awesome the director is a little bit more. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Who's your favorite in production staff, me or Salsa?
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Your favorite production staff that isn't the stage director.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, you guys don't mean... I'm literally going to say my favorite production member is our photographer, just to spite the view. seriously, though, our photographer was awesome.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah.
And, like, I think a lot... So, I didn't study theater in college, but I did do a lot of theater, a lot of, like, 24-hour plays and a lot of smaller kind of one-off stuff. And I wanted to capture that spirit of like sort of not like completely professional, but not like kind of scrappy and DIY sort of theater where you bring everything together and it just like Salsa said earlier, just kind of miraculously works.
That very hectic energy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then just kind of the triumph in succeeding. Where everything looked bleak and unsalvageable. And so a lot of the characters aren't necessarily like one-to-one recreations of people I knew in college, but like certainly there are people I had in my mind when writing certain characters. I'm trying to think. Like Duncan in particular is kind of an amalgamation of like three or four people I knew in college who were sometimes a little bit grating, but you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for those folks.
Oh yeah. Everybody's got that friend that they, you know, love dearly, but irritates the hell out of them. James.
Who is not here to defend himself.
Who is not here to defend. What? I didn't say, I just coughed. No.
I'm going to say Salsa straight up. 100%. I mean, I'm not pussyfooting around this bullshit.
No, I think what you said just a little bit ago, it really does. It like, there's so much truth in this, like in the play within the play, because mm-hmm. it is like they're just trying to make this thing work. Like this mm-hmm. whole play is held together with chewing gum and chicken prayers. Wire and hope.
Yeah.
And that is honestly how every play is held together. Like mm-hmm. everything looks really polished from the audience side, but as soon as you look, you know, at what's back there, it's gaffer tape and thoughts and prayers. Like, and that this really kind of does capture that, like that hectic, like we're just mm-hmm. trying to hold it together.
Mm-hmm. We're running on 2 hours of sleep and a cigarette and an iced coffee from the cafe.
Yep. And we're just, we don't, whatever we need to do to make it happen mm-hmm. is all that really matters. And I do appreciate that like honesty of the script too. So.
Thank you. It is very like, this is probably the first time I've shared, like aside from reading, like public readings that I've done as part of open mic nights. This is the first time I've shared my writing for other people to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of worried that somebody was going to go like, oh my God, this is this shit sucks. What the hell? Like, why am I spending all my time on this? And it never happened, obviously. And I'm so pleased that everybody I've encountered like wanted to work on this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there are genuinely days in rehearsal where we have a hard time getting through a scene because everybody's mm-hmm. laughing so much. it's real good. I'm mm-hmm. really, really, really proud of everything so far.
I'm really proud of everybody.
Go fucking yes, see it.
Please come see it. I think we have five. Last I checked, we have seven pre-sales. So ooh, seven people have already committed to seeing this show.
Damn.
I didn't know you could pre-sale, although I will go.
I think they opened it July 1st.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But there were website snafus.
Okay. I'll have to go. I have to go get my tickets. Do I need a ticket? I don't know how this works. I don't.
Yes, you do need a
ticket. Okay.
I mean, I could give you a comp if you, we can talk about it. We can take this offline.
I've been in Fringe once and it was part of Jenna's husband's play.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I had one of those once, Tom.
I know.
Yeah.
Now he's dead.
Don't I feel like an asshole? I do feel like an asshole. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
like 10 years ago.
To wrap this up, you should definitely go to the Minnesota Fringe Festival and see all of the shows because all of them are cool. However, you should in specific go to the Phoenix Theater August 1st at 10 p.m., August 3rd, 7 p.m., August 8th, 8:30 p.m., August 10th, 1 p.m., or August 11th, 5:30 p.m. to go see the McScottish play written by Tom St., directed by Salsa Sterling, fight choreography by Jenna Young. Featuring a
fantastic
group
of people.
Who are not currently here.
Yeah.
Who are not
You will cry.
Here.
You will laugh. You will have emotional gasps of aw. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like many, many emotions will be had.
So many feelings.
Yes.
You're going to put, it'll be so many feelings. You have to carry them all in a bucket. A bucket of feelings.
Bring a bucket.
And if Salsa has done his job, there will be a link in the show notes that I have put somewhere where you can find it.
Putting a lot of pressure on.
Okay. I'm Soccer. So much pressure.
All right. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about something else. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter @AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
I'm concerned about the twitchy monkey, I'm not going to lie.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And Tom.
Yay!
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
Today's Fast Five comes to us from...
Ba-ba!
All right.
You gonna edit that?
I did the thing and everything. Fuck you.
Did I give you shit about it? No, because you did the thing.
Yeah, but now you're like, but I'm gonna play with the little red box.
You don't have to tell people about that. I'm not. I forgot I was on camera.
Yeah, sucker.
This will not translate to an audio only medium, but little red box. Little Red Box is the name of my single off my debut album, Nude Box.
Little Red Box.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like Little Red Corvette, doesn't it?
It does a little bit.
Great, I'm ripping off Prince.
Just missing a few, you know, syllables. But anyway, today's Fast Five comes to us from James.
What? Son of a bitch.
I know that.
What's wrong with that?
James's opening thoughts. This should be all the James any episode requires.
Oh God, no! What have we done?
I feel like
self-deprecating. I don't.
I feel like
that.
We already had the amount of James.
Here's the thing, Tom. James has a habit of going beyond esoteric with life. But
with everything,
most specifically with the Fast Five questions.
Are you going to bed?
I'm
sorry.
he will come up with things that don't actually relate at all and like somehow try to make them relate, but does it in such a windy, twisty way that we're like, what? And James knows this and does it intentionally.
Yeah.
Like
that tracks with what I know about him.
He's started just really leaning into it. So, you might think it's self-deprecating, but James is really punishing us on purpose with his Fast Five here. So, that's what you should know.
I am prepared for this.
Okay.
Fast Five, question number one. Person or department?
Ooh. Yep, I have no idea what that context might be. I would rather, if I needed a support person, I would rather be sent to send an email to a department where the correct person might and eventually pick it up and handle it rather than have to speak to an actual individual on the phone. So I'm going department.
I would rather have conversations one-on-one with an individual person rather than having a departmental meeting.
Okay, my thought is similar to Jenna's in vain, but like in terms of writing procedures, do not put one person's name who may then leave or win the lottery or get hit by a bus, and then we don't know who to contact. Please put the name of the department in your procedure so that people always have a nebulous like group of where to go to rather than some person who might not be here in like a year or so.
Oh my God. I had to tell somebody, this was years ago, they were developing a process for how something was going to get done. And then they were like, yeah. And then we give it to Jenna. And I was like, No, that's not a process. That is not a sustainable company process. That
is future proof it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, why do you give it to Jenna? What does Jenna do with it? And my boss literally said, I don't know. Jenna does her magic and then it's done. I'm like, that,
sir.
Okay. I have ma'am. Actually, I was very proud.
Oh, ma'am.
Right.
Adam.
The only other female tech manager I had. But yeah, she's like, I don't know. Jenna does her magic and then it's done. And I was like, okay, I have new hardware requirements. I'm going to need a crystal ball. a magic wand,
and a tarot, like, and the tarot cards.
If my process is Jenna does her magic, like I'm gonna lean into this. I was like, or we could document what my role is and the things that I actually do to get this done. And she was mm-hmm. like, all right, maybe that one. I did a week later end up with a Barbie magic wand at my cube.
That's adorable.
So that was nice. Yeah, somebody stole the batteries after a couple of days of.
I mean, I get it.
Oh, I fault nobody for that. But as like the only chick in that specific tech area, I was like,
your brain is getting cut off, unfortunately.
Yeah, that happens.
There is. There
That's
is
why I can't turn myself up any further. Otherwise, it would cut me off entirely.
I have had a few jobs where the process essentially went, I don't know, ask that one guy who's been here for 20 years. Because
he knows
how this works. No. And he will always be here.
Oh, okay.
The sun will go cold and the planet will die and he will still be there.
So I'll say, you realize for that one company, that was you. You were the last person there.
Yeah, it's true.
Sucker. No, but like as a process operations planning manager, like department, I cannot agree with Tom any harder on this thing.
I think we kind of approached the question from the same angle too, which makes sense.
Similar angle, yeah.
Yeah, right. Similar-ish.
So two departments and a person. That's an episode of my sitcom.
Oh, nice.
What's the sitcom called, though?
That's what she said.
Oh, for fuck's sake. What a cop out.
That is kind of a cop out. First but I'm going to go with it.
Okay. Everybody loves salsa.
I mean,
the first one better.
Yeah. That's
that's what salsa said.
If we're how talking I met about your salsa. The dip. Ah. Oh god.
No, I want chips and salsa and I don't I have salsa and I have no chips. Not you.
Two broke salsas.
Did I meet you salsa?
The Big Bang salsa.
Oh god, stop. Somebody put a quarter in him.
It's always salsa in Philadelphia.
It's always salsa in Philadelphia. Okay.
The salsa.
All right, you've done it. You stop.
All right.
Done it. You've made it.
You've reached the pinnacle.
Yes.
All right.
And now you're done.
There is no better salsa to be salsa'd.
Well, now you started it.
Okay, question number two. Person or building?
I would rather. Okay, I've got this. So,
all right.
Last time we went to the North Shore, and we stayed in that lovely cabin. By the way, I got a message from the cabin owner that said that the upstairs toilet exploded, and so they're not going to be able to rent that cabin for a bit. Sad.
I was the one who was upstairs. What did I do?
What did you do?
You blew up the toilet, Salsa.
Right now, I'm going to be like, you need to blame my buddy Salsa. Salsa. The name's different on the documentation. I'll tell you which one.
What did I do?
What did you do to that toilet?
What did I do 4 months ago or however long it's been?
Yeah.
Okay, you were going somewhere.
So, North Shore. So Joe and I were driving along the North Shore and we're just getting into two harbors and there is a dude with a pickup truck and a sign that says Maple. And I went, "Yes, this is where we're getting our syrup." So I pulled into
it. Doesn't say maple syrup. It just said maple.
And it should only say maple because they did not just have several different types of maple syrup. They had maple sugar. They had maple butter. They had maple candies. They had maple marshmallows. Maple was the correct sign for what was happening in this shady ass parking lot. And like, this was an old toothless fella, made my heart so happy, and he just wanted to talk to me about maple syrup and maple sugar and all the rest of the maple things for like forever. And I was like, dude, you are getting all of my money right now.
All for cute.
This sounds like the scene from Forrest Gump where he's talking about all the things you can do with shrimp.
Yeah.
But with maple.
Yeah. And in like just on the outskirts of two harbors on a broken down parking lot. That was actually like the driveway was kind of gravelly. Like it was like, what are you even doing here, dude? Like this seems shady, but like so good. So I would rather get my maple syrup from that dude than from a building, like a grocery store or anything else.
Or that's like Mrs. Butterworth or Log Cabin.
Yeah. When my wife and I were in Greece, we went to Thermopylae and went to the hot springs there. And at the entrance to the hot springs, there was a guy, just a local dude, who had bags of homemade Turkish delight. Like, and I abso-fucking-lutely bought a bag of that.
Yes.
And that was the best Turkish delight I've had in my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a street food story.
Ooh, there we go. Do it.
So we were in Mazatlan to see the eclipse, Mazatlan, Mexico, which is on the west coast. And we were walking along the Malecón, which is the boardwalk. And I still am kicking myself for not finding churros. I have learned if you want a specific treat in a specific country, you need to research before you go where you can get that treat. And then you can plan for it. But okay. I did not do that. But we did see a man who had brought a bicycle with a tray full. I don't know how he did this. There must have been some sort of thing. But he had a bicycle and balanced on it was like a baking tray, like a big commercial baking tray full of donuts.
Yes.
And that was the best goddamn cream-filled donut for 20 pesos Rem and I shared while we walked along the boardwalk.
I love that shit.
That sounds amazing.
It was so good.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't have a thought. Go ahead. I'm still
okay. If I am going to travel, I want to go see museums or architecture or things like that rather than go visit people. Don't get me wrong. I like people, but if I'm going to go travel around and like,
you don't like people. Road trip,
I don't like people. That's true. I want to go see museums and architecture and monuments and stuff like that. That's my bag.
Mm-hmm. The way I approached this was I guess I've got work on the brain. Cause like when I heard people or person or building, I was like, the needs and wants of the people who are working for you, aka your employees, matter more than forcing people to arbitrarily come to a building. And I'm definitely thinking about remote work in this context. I'm very salty.
You know, that context briefly passed my mind as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So person I mean, in that context.
Because nobody's actually making me go into a building.
Banking as a whole, it's okay. Banking as a whole wants everybody back in the office, and so I'm trying to leave that.
I have that world behind. I actually do have an in-person meeting on Wednesday that I can't go to. I got kids. I have kids at home, and I can't find somebody to watch them all day on Wednesday. So I have to be home. I can't go to this mandatory meeting.
Yeah.
What
you gonna do?
Nope. And
hopefully they're not giving you shit about it.
Yeah, no, to my credit, my boss understands.
Nice.
Like, thankfully I work at a company that isn't an asshole about that sort of thing. But
yeah.
All right. Question number 3.
I'm really liking this God of Darkness vibe.
Looks real good, Tom. Not gonna lie.
So good.
Bean or premature?
How is bean spelled? Because I feel like that's important.
B-E-A-N.
Okay.
Okay.
This is what we're talking about when we talk about James.
Right.
Because no, this, James, in his mind, makes perfect sense.
I'm sure it does. But, like, for me, the very first thing that came to mind was, because, again, I've got Legend of Zelda on the brain, was the magic bean plants. And I don't know how that has anything to do with what we're talking about, but I guess I'm going bean, damn it.
All right, good enough.
Bean or premature?
Mm-hmm. For this, to be honest.
I'm not gonna lie. The only thing in my brain right now is sexual.
I'm 12.
That's the way I am all the time, Jenna. Don't worry about that.
So I guess my response
you're
is
a bean?
Bean.
The first thing in my mind is sexual. Just
yeah. Yeah, I mean, based off of that, I would go bean.
I'm gonna go bean as well, just because the word bean is so much more fun to say.
It's a fun bean. Word. Bean. What a premature. He's a small bean.
Oh, look at the little bean. Whereas premature,
look at the premature bean.
No, premature. Premature
sounds like clinical.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a very,
do not like
very austere word, whereas bean is very warm.
Bean is bean. Organic. Yeah, bean is a very organic word.
Bean is cozy.
Bean is your face is cozy.
Bean is cozy. That's the name of my first album.
I was going to say, like, that's the name of, like, my children's picture book about a gender neutral kiddo named Bean.
Bean is cozy.
Boom.
Bean is cozy. Premature is clinical.
That's so cute. I love it.
Yeah, I like it. That's all right.
And other contradiction. Wait, no. Hold on. One last. So, bean is cozy. Premature is what is clinical. And other true weird things.
Yeah. And other tales.
And other tales. And other facts.
Yeah. All right. Question number 4. Diamond or copy?
What's your favorite form of carbon?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
That's really fucking good.
That's the most James thing I can think of for that.
I'm gonna say carbon just on principle.
It was diamond or copy.
Oh crap.
So when I said, what's your favorite form of carbon, would you prefer a carbon copy or diamond, I guess?
A diamond carbon? I mean, I don't particularly... I like opals. I have an opal here.
I have opals.
I have four opals in my ears.
I did a report on opals.
No, six.
And, like, how they're formed is much more round and circular, which is... So the colors that you get are actually the refraction off of the oils that get trapped inside of it.
Oh, that's gnarly. So cool.
I know, right?
But yes, I have a love for lab grown opals to be in my face.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm gonna say copy because carbon copy. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, I thought my mind went to carbon paper, and then I was like, I want a new tattoo because I'm working.
Yeah, I want
on
carbon paper. Can I vote tattoos. For carbon paper?
No. Sure.
Oh.
I really don't have a use for a diamond unless I get to cut something with it. So I guess carbon copy.
Yeah, the thing is diamonds in and of themselves are plentiful, but they're not like clear and white. Mm. And that is the diamonds that De Beers wants us to spend 3 months' fucking salary on by
Fuck De Beers.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's the thing is the whole diamond thing is caused by De Beers because they went, we've got a lot of diamonds, but we're not going to tell you about them. So it seems like there's a lot fewer than there actually are when actually we're putting diamonds on fucking everything. To cut granite. That's what we're using as diamonds. But we're going to make you spend three times your you know, a quarter of your annual salary in order to pay for one of these fucking stones, because that's the only reason that you can show somebody you love them, as opposed to, I don't know, just fucking loving them. Diamonds have,
or like asking them what they want.
Yeah, diamonds have gross connotations for me. My wife and I agree. Our wedding rings, mine's tungsten and hers is the other indestructible metal.
Titanium.
Hers is titanium, mine's tungsten.
Okay.
Just nice. Metal bands, no gemstones. Mm-hmm. Because that's all we needed. We just needed something. And they have a similar design on the two of them to like marry them and show that there were parallels. But there's no gemstones on them because we don't fucking need gemstones. Oh, yeah. Right. No, they have the same kind of Celtic knotwork on both of them.
Oh, for cute.
No, they're very pretty.
Oh.
But the whole gemstone thing is a bit of a crock.
We made it up.
Exactly.
Yep.
Whereas copies,
we also made those up.
Also that. So I'm going with Dolly the sheep.
All right,
a clone, just a copy.
You know what? I'm gonna allow it.
Look,
why not?
Listen,
I'm gonna step off my soapbox and go for the sheep.
Oh, there. Never mind.
I said what I said.
I know. I'm just going to keep all my jokes to myself.
Question number five.
Five.
Equation or outline?
Outline. I will not explain further.
Okay.
Equation. I definitely use math a lot in my pattern drafting. I don't generally use like other people's patterns or pre-made patterns that you get at like a sewing store. I make my own, and I use a lot of mathematics in drafting my patterns. So I am gonna go equation.
I am very mathematically minded. I was in advanced math in high school. I learned calculus in German. I like math is something that I think of, when I'm doing something creative though, it is very flow of consciousness. It is, I'm not really good at, my high school English teacher fucking hated it because I could sit down and write a five-page paper, but I could not write an outline to save. I couldn't do it because I didn't know where it was going until I was writing it. And so I outlines were never my strong suit. I would write a paper and then I would look back at the paper and fix things that needed to be fixed along the way. But I couldn't do an outline of a paper or something like that. But mathematically, equations, like that was locked in. So I'm going to do equation.
I will elaborate a little bit further. I had like a visceral
liar. And,
yes, I've lied. What are you going to do about it?
Listen to your explanation.
Oh, okay. Then I'll carry on. I had like a visceral reaction to the word equation. Because I'm not very mathematically minded. And I like, outlines are the thing that have kind of saved me when I'm writing a thing, whether it be like a play or a story. Because I can just like, if I get stuck, I'm like, oh, I can go back to my outline and I can work on something different. And so that's why I prefer outlines to, I'm sure that's not what the context is going to be, but that is
probably not.
That's my explanation.
Very unlikely.
It took me a long time to learn. I was in a class where I had to do an outline before I was allowed to write the paper. Mm. And it took me until a friend of mine who is similar to the way I do things, who was like, just write the paper and then retroactively write the outline and hand that in. Yeah. And then also you've already got the paper written. It was like, that's genius. So really that's like,
smart. God, I wish I had thought of that.
Yeah, no, they gave us the assignment. I wrote the paper in that first like 3 or 4 days and then retroactively made an outline. And then while everybody else was editing their outline, I had already written the full fucking paper.
Nice.
So nice. Yeah, we were weird people that were
when we were weird.
What weird?
I know. Okay, so we're going to open up the second half of this and find out what the fuck James was talking about. All right, question number one.
Are you sure we're going to find out?
I'd like to think that we are, but it is James. Question number one, person or department. If someone in a department has been doing something wrong, do you think it's better to have a conversation with them or make a rule for the department?
Oh, that's interesting.
It actually depends.
Yeah, it depends on what the circumstances are.
It depends on, is this just the first person that is accidentally going to do this thing wrong? Is there a likelihood that others will repeat this mistake for whatever reason? Or is somebody just being a douche nozzle to be a douche nozzle and fuck that dude? Like, I really feel like it comes down to when you say do something wrong, there is, like, different ways people look at the word wrong, right? Are they doing it incorrectly, or are they doing it maliciously?
Dangerously. Yeah.
Right.
Also, is it, like, a clerical error, or is it, like, something that would cause a risk event?
Like a clerical error?
No, clerical error. I'm sorry, I didn't enunciate enough.
Oh, you enunciated fine. I just heard what I wanted to hear.
Just being a jackass. Yeah.
There is a saying. There's a saying that regulations are written in blood.
Yep.
You know, every time you read something that says, like, these sleeping pills may cause drowsiness, we laugh, but that is there because somebody injured or killed themselves.
Right.
Like, that sort of thing needs to be said because somebody didn't. Yeah. And so, like, that sort of thing goes, well, maybe there does need to be a rule so people can explicitly say that this is not to be done.
Right.
But at what point does that become overreach? At which point does that become authoritarian? At which point does that become fascist?
Right.
Where does our ability to make mistakes clash with our ability to not cause problems? And so, like Jenna said, I think this really has a lot of context required. Like she said, does doing wrong mean you're just not doing it correctly, or does wrong mean you're going to hurt someone?
Right.
So I'm gonna go with department, just because if somebody was doing something wrong, I wouldn't talk to them. Because I don't do that. I would talk to their boss. I would talk to their boss, maybe, and say, I don't like what's happening here. I'm not the kind of person that would talk to them about it. And for that reason alone, I'm going with the second one. But
right. As a process operations planning manager, I kind of feel like my job is to make it a departmental rule.
Sure.
Like, if my job is to outline processes and procedure, and somebody fucks up, that now I have to.
You kind of
by definition of my role.
Also, take a drink every time Jenna says process operations planning manager. I didn't get that.
Oh,
right.
No,
you got
I did.
Planning manager, yeah. You did it. Also, project management professional.
That's right.
The five P's is my favorite. I don't bring that one up as much here, but portfolio, program, product, project, process.
Mm-hmm. The five P's.
Slip in a procedure if you want, but
the five P's is also, by the way, my 7 a.m. P, my 9 a.m. P, my 11 p, my after lunch,
damn it.
P, and then the early afternoon. P.
You don't go after early afternoon.
No, I don't need to at that point.
Okay. You're already peed enough.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that at odd hours.
Because I drink a lot of coffee in the morning. By the afternoon, okay. I don't drink as much coffee, and so I don't need to go as often.
Well, I always feel like I gotta pee before bed. Like, otherwise I'm gonna wake up in the middle of the night being like, ah, shit, I should pee before bed.
But, like, I was doing a Renaissance Festival earlier this year, and saw another performer doing something that I was deeply uncomfortable with because it looked dangerous.
Mm.
Like, it was dangerous not just to the performer, but to the audience.
More dangerous than swallowing a sword.
Like, legitimately, not like within the bounds of the performance, but like an actual, like, hazard to...
Sure. No, I know what
audience
you're saying.
Audience can
it
get
just,
hurt.
Sure. It really seems... Yeah. Like,
I know.
You know, to the outside observer.
But that's
like,
the thing, is if I'm saying it looks dangerous, it's probably fucking dangerous.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so I talked to the artistic director. I didn't talk to them. I talked to the artistic director and said, this is your job to know about this. I find this to be a problem. Now you need to be aware of it. I have said my piece. This is your problem to deal with. I'm not going to talk to
you. Yeah.
So.
Nope. I think that's fair.
Yep.
All right. Question number two. Person or building, after a breakup, would you find yourself more heartbroken by hearing someone talk about the person or by seeing a place you used to go with them?
Both.
Oh.
I don't think I can legitimately choose, because, like, all of that makes me sad. So the reason it would upset me to hear somebody talk about the person is, like, I don't necessarily want to think about them. And, like, especially if it's like, oh, they're doing well or whatever. It's like, well, fuck that. I don't want to hear about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, good for them, I guess, but, like, I'm still kind of... And I also, I'm also kind of assuming that this is a fresh breakup, not, like, a 10 years in the future sort of thing.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
I think go ahead.
I don't know, places are also, feel significant to me. Just because there's a lot, like, they're very strongly associated with memories in my mind. So
see,
I'm
exactly the opposite. I don't associate places with people. Mm. If somebody's if people are directly talking about a person, that is making a direct link in my mind to that person. Mm-hmm. But if I go to a place, it's just a place.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if they're talking about the person to a certain extent, it kind of depends on what they're saying, because if what they're saying is, oh man, Fuck Nugget came into my store the other day, I'm like, cool, go on.
Tell me more.
Yes.
Eyebrows.
We're already starting off on the right foot. Let's keep going. But yeah, if somebody's like, oh, I went on this great date with Fuck Nugget, I'm like, oh, God damn it.
We'll go have a happy fucking life together.
Great. But yeah, especially, like, I did have that happen once, but they didn't think it through until afterwards.
Oh,
I was
like, terrible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Ran into somebody on a date with my then fairly recent ex, and I was like,
oh, that's,
hi.
That's fun.
They were like, I am so sorry. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, you should
bet
be.
You are. Well, it's like, I'm not going to be like, no, you can't date that person. Like,
how
that's,
dare
that's
you?
Dickish. And they didn't do it on purpose. But, like, also, like, only a couple months out of that, and he wasn't great. So maybe you want to rethink your choices.
I want to go home and rethink my life.
But as far as places are concerned, like, I have had strong association to places. There was a neighborhood that I had a couple of years going back to and visiting my friends because I lived in that neighborhood with a really shitty person. And that was hard for me. But one of the things that I've been doing and relearning how to do is to repave memories of places. The most recent example is the last time I went to Gooseberry Falls was with a really shitty person. And so this last May when we were up north, I was like, Joe, I really want to bring you to see Gooseberry Falls. Like, let's do this thing finally, because I've been trying to get him up there for a couple of years. And so we went up there together, and like, especially with another person that can help you, like, rebuild over those associations with those places. Like, there was something very therapeutic about that for me. So, yeah, I'm going to say person, just in general.
I did the thing that you're talking about. I did with a TV show.
I've done it with TV shows too. Yeah.
All right. Question number three, bean or premature?
Yeah. What the fuck?
Regardless of how it usually happens, would you prefer to wake up before an alarm feeling rested or have somebody bring you excellent coffee in bed?
Bring me excellent coffee in bed.
Coffee.
I want to, James, I don't know if you're going to listen to this or not, but James, you put those in the wrong order.
Yeah, you did.
Unless you mean bean to be wake up early and premature to mean coffee, which doesn't make sense, but
otherwise, I don't think he meant that.
That's backwards.
No, I'm pretty sure he flipped him.
Also waking up before you need to wake up is
too terrible.
Worse than
what's that?
Coffee.
I know who wants to wake up early. It's those 4 a.m. hustle grind bros who are like, I get up at 5 a.m. I take a cold shower and I run 5 miles and I take another cold shower and then I get to work like building my business or whatever. And it's like, yourself.
If I need to wake up at 5 a.m., I'll wake up at 5:05.
Yeah.
Because fuck that. For some fucking reason, wake up before I need to. Even if I'm fully rested, I'm still going to lay there.
Oh, I'm pissy about it. I'm angry about it if I wake up. I was like, hey, Jenna, it's Saturday. You can sleep in, you can whatever. I woke up before my alarm would have normally gone off. I didn't set an alarm. I went off before it would have normally gone off on a weekday. And I was so mad about it.
I was angry.
Bullshit.
Bean is the clear winner of that
Bean,
one. Okay.
Obviously.
The question number four.
The thing that popped into my head with the coffee thing was the best part of waking up is going back to sleep. That was it.
Okay. Yep. No, good. Question number four, diamond or copy? Are you more attached to irreplaceable things or things you can find again and share with others?
Oh, I love sharing things with others.
I'm not a thing person. I'm an experience.
I'm really mad that we didn't get this right. I'm mad the context was, what is your favorite form of carbon?
I'm over it.
I'm not mad about it.
I'm gonna hold a grudge, James.
I'm mad about it.
No. Definitely.
My context is better. Jenna's
was way better.
Yeah,
way obviously. Better.
Right,
but I'm over it. I'm not a thing person. I'm an experience person. So I'm gonna say the second one.
So my one exception to this is like things that I have handmade. I went on a trip in 2019 to the Netherlands and Italy, and I came back with this big cake of rainbow, like hand dyed yarn from like Hungary or something. And you can only find the brand in Europe. I actually came back with two cakes. So I made this like huge rainbow scarf, and I'll be honest, every time I lose that thing, I die a little inside. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta find it right now. It doesn't matter like what I'm doing. It's just like I need to make sure that I know where this thing is because I cannot make another one. Mm-hmm. I will have that thing until I die. I might even be buried with the thing. Who knows? But I do have an attachment, and some maybe might consider this irrational, but I have an attachment to things that I have made myself that like took a lot of time or were like one of a kind sort of things.
Yeah.
But mostly objects, I'm an experienced person as well.
Objects are impermanent, whereas experiences are what makes you you. So. Mm-hmm. All right. Question number 5, equation or outline. Do you feel more confident with solving the problems in someone else's idea or creating your own big picture idea?
Oh, I'm
creating my own.
I feel there's one.
Yes, Jenna, I know a project manager must do both.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He knows you so well.
Yes.
We have been doing this together for over a decade.
Right.
What?
Which one do I feel more comfortable? I'm going to say I gain more satisfaction solving somebody else's problems and difficulties than I do coming up with my own big idea. I like having ideas. I like having big ideas, and I like implementing my big ideas. But there's something about helping somebody else finish developing their thing, helping somebody else figure out what is holding them back with their project or what the stopping points are along the way, what's preventing them from moving forward with this thing, helping to figure out what the problems are and how to work around those problems so that somebody can continue moving forward and creating and doing whatever. There's something about that hits me on a very specific level. It fills me in a way that I don't know that I can describe. It gets me right in the chest area where that one organ is that people keep talking about, like with the blood
and
everything. Yeah, that. No, yeah. There better not be blood in my lungs. We'll have a problem then.
I mean, but, blood flow in your lungs. That's
like the liquid blood in your lungs. Anyway.
Right. I think
as opposed to what? The solid blood? The gaseous blood?
Yes, blood I'm injecting chunks. Solid blood chunks into I just grossed myself. Anyway, what were we talking about, Jenna?
Anyway. No, so I find it very fulfilling is what I was trying to get to before whatever the fuck this is happened.
The solid blood.
Before the blood chunks happened, I was talking about something heartfelt.
Ooh, before the blood chunks happened.
That's my memoir of Minnesota's favorite deep sea horror.
No, that's real good.
That's real good. I love helping people, and I can have big ideas. Any idiot can have a big idea. But how do you get from idea to implementation? I thrive is the word I'm looking for. I thrive off of those kind of interactions and assistance.
Yeah.
It is such a core part of my being.
Sorry. I heard you say bean and I wanted to say bean coffee. Again. Bean is now my vocal stem. Anyway.
I have to go with that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I have to do both, and I do both very well. However,
if you were to pick, I would. So something that you brought up is like, I think producing the show has taught me that I am more comfortable with being creating the bigger idea than fixing it. And I think I've been really lucky to be able to pick people's brains who are better at the fixing other ideas problem. Because it's not, I can do it if pressed, I don't necessarily enjoy doing it. It doesn't necessarily like make me, it's not something I thrive doing, to steal your phrasing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'll go with creating my own big ideas as well.
Yeah. So
also, I want to point out the pillow looks like eyes.
It really does. This is not
such a vibe.
And it really is. Like, you should figure this out for a consistency thing.
Yeah, I have to have my own stream room before I can do that. Mm. But,
I concur. With Jenna, I find I get a lot of satisfaction taking something that somebody else is working with and just kind of going in and going, try this and
tweak,
just making a little and having it come together. Like, that is that is such a satisfying.
Yeah. You have also been one of those people in this process.
What?
What a surprise.
I know. So yeah, I'm going with that. All right. Closing thoughts.
Ooh.
Wishing Jenna love, luck, and light.
Aww.
Salsa, books, basements, and beers.
Actually, nope. That's pretty fucking spot on.
Got it in one.
James did not know you would be here, Tom.
James doesn't know I'm here.
James would probably have wished you something. Probably some kind of undersea horror.
Eldritch. Yeah. Something. tentacles, turtles, Huff? And something else.
Tinnitus? I already have that, so
we're I was going to go with three. Health, happiness, and horror.
Ooh, there you go. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. It's that easy. Does anybody have a shout out?
I would like to give a shout out for COVID tests, like at home COVID tests and drive through COVID tests, like even the PCR drive through COVID test stuff. Like, fucking A, man. We have definitely gotten to a place where it should be more manageable to help be preventative. I fucking lived off of those the past week, just consistently checking. And I remember before we had tests, and I had a booster before Convergence as well. So that might be a contributing factor as to why
that
I didn't get COVID. I mean, you know, I'm no doctor, but say this helped.
Lazy.
Therefore, I'm going to listen to the actual experts in the fucking field. Anyway, having a COVID test, being able to check and verify, and having CDC guidelines as to when is an appropriate amount of time, all of that has made me better about if and when I can participate in stuff and being able to participate in things as much as I can. I just, shout out to all of that shit, man. Appreciate that.
All right. I'm going to give my shout out to my kid, who is becoming a person.
I mean, they were already a person before, but like,
but like
becoming more of a person,
but their own person, like that.
Yeah,
they're in middle school now, and they have like opinions and like attitudes and.
Oh,
like,
you better stop that right away.
Yeah,
did we all?
Like, my wife came downstairs earlier today while I was working, and she was like, "Yeah, she was gonna go rollerblading in the street earlier," and I was like, "Yeah, do you have your helmet? Do you have your knee guards and your wrist guard?" Blah, and she was like, "Mom, stop worrying." And my wife was like, "Oh, my little kid is getting older and starting to sound like a fucking tween because she's a tween."
Sweetie. You know. Also, bitch, it's my job to worry.
Yeah, but my wife was legitimately like that. She told me to stop worrying.
That's adorable. That is pretty fucking cute. Not gonna lie.
So yeah, no, getting older and bigger. Tom?
Did you want to give a shout out, Tom? You don't have to.
Yeah, I have two. My shout outs are for keycap fidgets and noise canceling headphones for having kept me sane this past 2 weeks. Because I have issues.
Sanity is good.
Sanity is great. My noise canceling headphones are legitimately like a drug to me. Like, I put them on and everything's fine, and I don't, like, I'm not angry at things.
Have you ever wanted to try the like deprivation chambers?
Yes.
Sensory deprivation chambers.
Sensory deprivation tanks. Yes, yeah. I absolutely have.
I've been curious about it. I'm pretty sure I'd go insane right quick.
Real fast, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
I used to, when I came back from college, I went to a Quaker college. And so for a while after I came back to the cities, I actually did attend a Quaker meeting for worship. And if you've never experienced this, it is a 1 hour service where people sit silently in a room. And if the spirit moves you, you stand up and speak your message or whatever.
I have
you
heard
have
of
to
this,
say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so nice. It I actually learned this turn of phrase from a friend when we were kind of talking about the woo stuff I was into. Because my tarot practice is still going strong, but I'm happy about that. We were talking about this, and he's like, you know, I think it doesn't. I don't know how much it matters if you believe, but it does your brain a soothe. And I like that turn of phrase because I don't necessarily like believe in a god. It does your brain a soothe.
Yeah,
I like
and
that.
That is the purpose.
I know that I would very quickly go crazy, like Jenna. I have ADHD, and so I know that being alone with nothing but my thoughts would drive me crazy. Like 5 seconds in, I would be like, I've been here for 24 hours. Get me out of here. But I am curious to give it a try and find out what it's like.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Which the, like, the sensory the deprivation or a Quaker meeting?
Porcano
sure,
los
sure, yeah.
Porcano los
I will try. And this does include a fucking lot, but I will try pretty much anything once.
Don't try Sea Slug. It's not worth it.
I shouldn't yuck anybody's yum, but
no. Apparently, some people love it, but like, yeah.
That's, you know what? That's, more
used
for them.
To be my thing where I was like, I'll try anything once, and then I had sea slug and I'm like,
you know, maybe. I've had sea urchin and shark, and those definitely weren't for me, but I tried it.
Mm-hmm. I wish sure. I feel like don't, I need to give sea urchin sea a fair shake
so bad
because it was a local delicacy in the prefecture in Japan where I studied abroad, and I'm like, I don't feel like I gave this a fair shot,
yeah,
to be honest.
I tried it and it was just like, nope, this texture is not for me.
The texture's a lot.
Maybe Joe it's liked weird. It. I did not. I was not a
fan. That's fair.
But I tried it. All right. Anyway. Does anybody have, I don't know if anybody has anything to plug on this
no,
show.
No, not me. I got nothing coming up.
I can't think of anything.
Yeah.
Tom.
Well, so besides the McScottish play, which you can see at the Minnesota Fringe Festival, details will be in the show notes. I also stream on Twitch. Currently I stream once a week until the Fringe show is closed. When we close the Fringe show, I will be streaming on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Central Time and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Central Time. I do indie games, adventure games, and indie adventure games, which is how I've justified to myself that I can play Legend of Zelda, because it is an action adventure game. So Zelda's on Saturdays until I finish it, and then I think we're starting Undertale, which some people might be excited about, because I've never played Undertale.
Yeah.
And I will include a link to the Twitch channel in the show notes as well, or hopefully.
Please, yep, get that sent over to me, and I'll get that in.
I will do that.
Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bean.
No, apparently not. All right. In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this. Thank you, James, for sending in the Fast Five. It was the only one we had, so somebody else needs to get some stuff written next week.
I'll write one.
It's really easy. All you got to do is fill out the form, aopodcast.com.
It takes the thinky thoughts.
Thank you so very, very much to our special guest, Tom, for coming in and filling in for James on short notice. On
I think
behalf, I'd
make a better James than James does.
I mean, a rock would make a better James than James does.
Wow.
Ouch.
Wow.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.